שלום לכם, תודה שאתם.
Hello to you. Thank you for joining us. We are here in our new life series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello. We cannot hear you, Dr. Lightman, if you can unmute. Can you hear me now? Oh, yes, we hear you now. This is show number 1250, and the subject is public panic. Now, it's a bit of a concerning issue, but we want to have this talk not to get there. So this is not a simple time, it's the time of the coronavirus. And if we look at Israel, we can say, yeah, we don't see anyone really panicking, and God bless, but we want to take a good look at this issue. So I want to start with a definition for panic, first of all, in general. And then we will look at what public panic may be. So panic, in a simple dictionary definition, is this way. It's defined this way. A panic attack is an intense feeling of terror that can be accompanied by physical symptoms like raised heartbeat, shivering, difficulty breathing, and so on. And a panic attack can usually pass in a few minutes. So that's what we know as panic in general. Now, if you're talking about a public, a community, a whole country, what happens to a public in a state of public panic?
Dr.
Lightman, I cannot say a public, where there's public panic, well, it's not like an individual. In the public, there are all sorts of waves, all sorts of layers and segments of the population. And so it can last not only for a short time, as you say, where the panic attack goes, but it can be a very, very extended process, which keeps feeding itself and erupting in various directions and returning like waves in the sea, which go every which way, not necessarily in an orderly fashion, as we see it. And this we can also see in the public in times of war, for example. There are all sorts of such waves of panic, and I would say that the main thing about panic is that a person feels disorganized, that he is not in safe hands, let's say, where the public doesn't feel that there's someone governing, and that lack of governance, the lack of direction, the lack of a guiding hand, that's what gives us this panic. Oh, and so how can panic affect the public? Dr. Lightman, it begins to awaken it to do all sorts of things, and then people each have their own individual frustrations, and the general panic amplifies all these things. And so, in order to calm down this panic, a blow must be struck. The public must be shaken. Until they begin to perceive the situation in the proper way. Owen, when can panic turn into violent rioting? Dr. Lightman, when the public don't feel any limits placed on them. The public, they're like little children. If there's no firm hand from a place of wiseness, right? Not cruelty. It's like a mother and a father who need to govern their children who suddenly are running amok. So first they know that they have to put a stop to the wild behavior with a firm hand, relatively speaking, of course, but to assist there. in a way where we want to put an end to this uncontrolled eruption, outburst. Oh, and so you just defined this panic as an uncontrolled outburst. What happens there? Lack of control, balance? What exactly? Dr. Reichman, it's all about uncertainty, where I don't know what's happening. The inability to see the future in a clear way. No feeling that, where I have no feeling that something is governing me, not behind, not in the current state, nor in the future do I see any boundaries, any limitations. And if I don't see those, I just go crazy because of the lack of forces hemming me in and establishing me. And this brings about panic? Yes. So let's say I'm an individual in this public. How does the public panic affect the individual, Dr. Lightman? The individual cannot remain calm if people around him are panicking. Owen, what's dangerous to the public there if there's public panic? Dr. Lightman, well, they cannot do anything. They don't know the direction in which they're moving. They don't understand who or what motivates them. They're simply like, aimless, wandering aimlessly. They're anxious. Owen, and what dangers await at this time? Dr. Lightman, where you cannot say what will happen in such a society, nor a people or a nation that can go into that state. It's something very dangerous. Owen, I want to make another clarification regarding, well, the difference between panic and violence. When does a public that's beginning to panic, when does it become violent? Dr. Lightman, this is also done in order to establish, well, let's say, a kind of boundary in a clear way. Then there's violence. Owen, why? What does that give? Dr. Lightman, violence is a kind of, it's an expression of power. It's as though they're coming to reshape society in a clear way. Or let's say not in society, let's say at home, where the father takes the child and with a firm hand, he gives him some slap, and then the child stands down, so to speak, calms him in a way. He received admonition from someone who is in control, who is above the panic. Admonishment, rather? Owen, after scrutinizing what a public panic is, I want to scrutinize the causes for public panic. What, in your estimation, can cause a whole public to enter a state of panic? Dr. Lightman, lack of awareness, lack of knowledge. Yeah, lack of knowledge. Knowledge about what is happening to me now, what will happen to me in a minute. Erase from a person the feeling of tomorrow. Each one of us feels with the feeling that he knows what tomorrow means. So more or less, he knows that he gets up, he goes to work, he comes back from work, he eats, he drinks. He sees some show on television. He calls his mom, his friends, and so on. In the evening, he's with family or something. He has something defined, where these things can change around a bit, but the general framework remains. And so there's no panic. That's the opposite of panic. That gives him structure to life. So our main concern is to bring the person a framework for his life. Owen, so when this framework is shattering, the person doesn't know what's going to happen, these are the conditions to create public panic? Dr. Lightman, yes. And he may run wild and riot because he has no borders, no boundaries. Subconsciously, he's looking for boundaries. So he's not going out to the street to break windows because he's in panic, but rather it's because of a lack of a firm hand. There is no firm hand over him. He's looking for framework, for boundaries. Oh, and the public is looking for framework? Dr. Lightman, yes. The public, it's like a child. If there is no framework, he goes out to break windows. He goes wild. He takes some stones from the roadside and begins to break windows. Owen, why? Dr. Lightman, he's waiting for someone to tell him that it's good or not good. Yes or no? Each one of us, like an animal, loves boundaries. Because within boundaries you feel security. You have order to your life. And if there are no boundaries, what will I eat? What will I drink? Where will I sleep? What will I do? Who's good or bad? As far as I'm concerned, I don't know anything, and that's not good. I look for some corner to call my own. Look at homeless people. They live, let's say, under a bridge or other such places. Each one has his own place. You come to him, you want to sit on the bench where he sleeps. He says, "This is my place, go away." What do you mean it's your place? It's not yours. First of all, and secondly, why can't I be here? And you say, "This is mine." That's how we are. If you give a dog or some other animal some plate of food, that's it. You bought that animal. It knows that it has something next to you, something for it. That's how over thousands of years we brought all sorts of animals close to us. Owen, if I take another step forward, we defined public panic, we defined the causes for public panic. Now I want to talk about causes or elements in society that want to instill panic in the public. Sometimes it comes through fake news or sometimes other means. It seems like there are certain elements in society that have an interest in provoking this public panic. Why? And who are they? Dr. Lightman, I don't know. It's obvious that in any society there are people who want to cause public panic. Owen, why? Who stands to gain? Dr. Lightman, let's say I'm the Minister of Defense or something, or security, I don't know, and I want to increase my budget, yes? So it's in my interest that there will be public panic. Panicking for a war. If I'm the Minister of Housing or something, then I'm interested in the public panicking, thinking there won't be any more apartments for sale soon, and so on. Oh, and so each one has his own interest, and panic serves that interest, and so it's worthwhile for him. We can't hear you, Dr. Lightman. Yes, yes. Owen. All right, so now I want to advance towards the more important part of this. Let's talk about preventing panic. So we said that public panic can be very dangerous, even violent. How can you prevent a whole public, like a whole nation, from reaching a state of panic? What's needed to prevent a state of public panic? Dr. Lightman, give them a direction in which to develop, which also invokes, you could say, panic, but in a very specific way, with a specific direction, and it's something that I can manage and govern. Owen, explain, please. Dr. Lightman, well, you can't live without a direction, certain direction. Without little panic, you cannot govern the public. So through the media, I show them all sorts of things, awaken all sorts of things, what's happening with money, politics, the stocks, and so on. I keep awakening the public with little waves. If you go into the sea and it's all completely flat, that's not good either. It's not good because it's abnormal. It's not normal. It scares you. But if from day to day I make little waves here and there, then everyone's used to it, everyone's engaged. Everyone is drawn to this type of panic or that part of panic. The news, that's panic also. We don't call it panic, but that's what it is. It's in order to give the public something to taste, to eat something for their spirit, let's say. Because without that, we cannot feel life. What, there's nothing? Nothing's happening? Nothing at all? No newspapers, nothing is going on, the world is dead. That's the biggest panic. So instead of all these things, I myself need to create these little waves where each one will feel good, comfortable. Ah, God bless. There is a few percent of the people die, a few percent steal, a small percentage of them. It's a normal country then. Owen, so if I speak from the perspective of leadership and governance, Dr. Lightman, it's also in the family. Also in the family, it's well known that if the husband and the wife don't argue, that's also abnormal. To the contrary, where there's a little friction between them, to a certain extent, of course, it helps them feel each other. And they understand each other better. And they have this feeling that you have someone, a partner, that actually exists. He's not completely indifferent, not paying any attention to you. Owen, if I ask you to help me define a mechanism that can prevent the spread of public panic, what should it be like? Dr. Lightman, I think it's certain that people are thinking about this. Government offices, which do have such means, and they discuss things amongst themselves. They hold to a certain balance. That one does this, this one does that. They have this general agreement regarding what each one does in order to bring the public feeling of existence in life. Owen, in the beginning of our discussion, you said that when a public enters a state of uncertainty where they're not clear about what's going to happen, this can develop into public panic. We are at a time where there's great uncertainty. Ever since the coronavirus came into our lives, there's a very high level of uncertainty, and there's a fear that this will bring about public panic. So what would you suggest to do in order to prevent public panic in the age of the coronavirus? Dr. Lightman, we saw in Israel how the government started making decisions following the public, right? People were afraid of the businesses closing and everything, and the government then decided to open the business to listen to the people, and suddenly coronavirus spiked. The second wave of the coronavirus. Dr. Lightman, no, it's not the second wave, it's the first wave. We just didn't go through it fully, and we came out of quarantine ahead of time. And so it seems like a second wave where the disease is erupting, but we are at fault. Why? Because the panic of the public sitting at home, saying they can bear it no more, caused the government to give their approval to opening the schools and opening businesses and so on, and that gave rise to, well, this this wild growth of this, the first wave. That's how it happened. It shouldn't have, but it did. So the first rule is don't follow public sentiment. The public is like a child. They're like children. Don't take them into consideration. Don't listen to them. Don't follow them. The other way around, with a firm hand, with a firm and strong hand, with understanding, of course, put that hand on the public and say, this is how we live now. Especially when such a thing comes about like the coronavirus. And then the public understands and feels and watches itself and understands that there's a father. And the father says, it's not just for no reason. He says, there's no alternative. This is how we must be. These are forces which are above us, above me as well. And I determine that there won't be many opinions here, but one, my own. And then everyone understands. Owen, that reminds me of a tyrannical rule, or let's say monarchy. Dr. Leitman, don't speak lightly about monarchy. We have to understand it. It's not necessarily that bad. Owen, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying that, Dr. Leitman, it's similar to the rule of a king, yes. That's why it's called Malchut, kingdom. But what's good about the rule of the king? The king feels that his state, his country, is his country. He's taking care of his country. He's taking care of the health of its people, making sure that there are no poor or sick, or people dying of starvation, because it's his country. It's like his house. It's his property. And so he sees that, it's wrong to say that monarchic rule is it's something to be to speak bad about. The rule of today, the governance of today, is much worse, because no minister, no leader, no prime minister feels that it's his own thing. It's his. Let them die. If they die, maybe I can get a higher paying job. Right? He doesn't feel that it's his home, that these are his people. And so the governments of today are much worse than monarchy. And the king can say, I am doing this and that. Everyone stand to attention and accept it. And there is no one arguing. It's the king. Today, each minister is attacking the other ministers, and it's so cheap. It's so inconsiderate. There's no consideration of anything. It's a laughing. It's a joke. Owen, okay. So you tied things to, well, you tied public panic together with the feeling that leadership is truly concerned about the well-being of the public. If there's a feeling that the leadership is caring about the well-being of the public wholeheartedly, then the public accepts their decisions and it calms them down. Dr. Leitman, yes, this is how it works in the family. The family, it's a very natural connection. You have a father, a mother, and children. And this is something we understand. It's inside us. We were born from it. We grew up in this. And if it's the same in the country, in the state, then we understand it. So it's not my home, my house, it's the palace, right? But we understand that. But if suddenly all sorts of people come making wars between them, each one wanting to rule, to govern, it's cheap, it doesn't elicit any kind of respect or anything. Owen, so it turns out that, if I understand it, that if the leadership of a country, of a nation, if they want to prevent public panic, it's very important for them to work on giving the public a feeling that the government is working truly for the benefit of the public. Dr. Lightman, and with a firm, strong hand, ruling, like the father of the family. Owen, with limits, right, as you said before. Dr. Lightman, the father is limited. His love for his family limits him. There can be force and cruelty if necessary, but on the other hand, it's with love always, because it's his family. If government functioned that way, no one would ever rise up and to say half a word against them. Owen, so it turns out to be very interesting. There's love here, and also very clear limits and boundaries, as well as a true concern for the well-being of everyone instead of my own interest. There is a combination of factors here which seem to be contradictory. They're soft, they're harsh. So what exactly is the combination to prevent public panic? What is the exact combination that can avoid public panic? Dr. Lightman, it's where everything connects into one single body, a uniform structure, either one person or one government managing everything, one body, let's call it. And then there's no panic. I'm under its control. And all the forces, the good and the bad, so to speak, they connect together in my best interest. Oh, and so this is the operative word here. This is the last word here. Like, the public should feel that the government is caring about their well-being. Dr. Lightman, yes, that's what our children need to understand. Yes, that's the education we need to give them. Owen, thank you. Our time is over for now. New life, learning to live well without panic. Yes, goodbye.